Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
My own show. My own show. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell on a hump day. Carl is jammed up in traffic. He'll be here in just a second. We start every hour of every show with a big hearty, hey, man. And yeah, man, as we all know, living here, Atlanta is literally a mile, or I like to say, whether it's a mile or 10 miles, it's an hour from Atlanta. And that's what we deal with every day. And there's some stuff that's happening on Carl's route home. So he'll be here in just a bit from, again, today. I was just talking to Data. A million things going on. We got the Braves in a very strange game last night. Iglesias nearly blows. We've got some breaking news with the Hawks, and we've also got more stuff developing down in the SEC coaches' meetings down on the beach. So we'll start with right now, the latest thing to happen, or right now, Anse Saleh. Get your hands off my GM. Keep my general manager's name out your mouth. Shams Charania reporting the Hawks are signing Anse Saleh to a long-term contract extension and promoting him, too. He gets, his business card will fold out. President of Basketball Operations, sources telling him at ESPN. We were talking about this the other day. I think when Carl was on vacation, there was a story. And I joked around with Day-Day. I said, hey, man, I really do think that we're going to see teams make a play for Anse Saleh. And then we found out the Sixers made a call to the Hawks. And the Hawks said, no way, can't do it. You can't talk to him. So no big surprise now that they give him an extension and they give him further power, as Anse Saleh did a nice job of getting us from the play-in to the playoffs, making a bold decision to move on from Trey. And obviously not the outcome we were looking for. But when you think about what the Knicks have done to everybody else, we actually come out looking pretty good. So anyway, good news for Hawks fans at Anse Saleh. If you do like the work, and I think most of us agree he's been doing a hell of a job, he will be sticking around for a minute. Last night, guys, the Braves, I thought this was one of those games where, you know, you might just blow it in the end. But, man, Money Harris, 4-for-4, the home run to center field, that was something. And then we got kind of an old-school Iglesias making me nervous in the service last night. If you stayed up, and I think it was pretty easy to watch, all of a sudden there's guys on base. Next thing you know, there's runners coming in, and you're like, oh, are you kidding me? But he was able to get the job done. Hey, look who's here. It's C. Dukes. Hey, man. I just as you were coming in the hallway, I said Atlanta is an hour from Atlanta.
Yeah, look, 75, whatever that was on Windy Hill, they had to clear it out. But if you were stuck in that, which is where I was, coming in.
No way to go, nowhere to go.
No, you couldn't get off. I had passed Delk Road. They were trying to show, you know, the Waze was showing me that. Whatever. Look, you run into traffic here, like you said, no matter where you are. The idea, though, of what we're seeing in this series, and we were talking about this today, Mike, with whether it's going to be OKC or the Spurs. Look, I think both teams give the Knicks an opportunity, or will play the Knicks, should I say, will play either one of those teams as well as anybody we've seen. And we go back to the play-in tournament.
Right.
The Knicks and OKC play. We forgot because it's been so long ago, but we saw an early glimpse of maybe what this might look like early in the season. The difference is OKC is kind of beat up right now. You know, I don't think they're at full strength. But
that in-season tournament.
Correct, yeah. The in-season tournament. So, you know, everybody's talking about what the Knicks may or may not do to some of these teams as far as the Spurs or the OKC Thunder. I think they'll play both of them very well. Look, I got to say this because I know many of you think that Mike and I are rooting one way or the other. But today, Kevin Stefanski said something very interesting in regards to Tua Tagovailoa. And I want you guys to just hear this, because when we talk about Tua and the comparison, and Mike, you said this last week, it was, oh, look at the footage, the video they put out. I think Tua, guys, again, he's not saying a whole lot, nor do I expect him to, but when you hear Kevin Stefanski say he fits well, he's getting along with everybody, there are no limits on what he can and can't do, which is not the case for Michael Penix. He's not 100%. And Kevin Stefanski said that today up at Flowery Branch. He's not 100. Everybody keeps saying he's back. He's this, that, and the other. He's still doing the same things, Mike, that he was doing last week and even before that. Individual drills, 7-on-7. But, Day-Day, do we have that cut from Coach? I want you to hear this when he talked about Tua Tagovailoa today.
Working very hard, veteran, fits in really well with our guys. Skill set is what you see from his Miami days to now, very accurate, but fits in really well.
So that's nice, but that's not what I'm looking for. What I want you to hear is him talking about the leadership of Tua, Mike, and how he has this innate ability to put the ball where he wants to put it. What he was saying is Tua's accuracy is real. And the only reason that is important is because one of the things we talked about with Michael Penix, even in the limited amount of starts that he's gotten, is his accuracy. We know he can throw the deep ball, but we didn't see a lot of that because we didn't have deep threats.
Right.
But one of the areas where he's got to improve, Mike, he's got to get above 65% completion.
Right. He sails the ball sometimes. We've seen some balls in the flat that are not catchable. I mean, that's why I say when you look at the season, again, and by the way, I'm over these guys. If you can't see what we saw, then I don't know what you're watching. Okay, there was good, there was bad, and there was stuff that just didn't look right at all. So, but and that's where when he says, look, coach goes on record saying, you know, accuracy is a God-given talent.
It's crazy.
You know, years ago when Mike Vick came up and we got drafted, we had Fran Tarkenton in studio.
Yes.
And Fran, you know, and he knows something about throwing a football and running with the football. Fran goes, you can't coach accuracy. I mean, you can try to improve it, but it's a God. And so Stefanski was saying it's a God-given skill. We've seen Michael Penix drop dimes 50 yards down the field. I don't want it to be Cam Newton where he can make the 60-yard rocket throw, but he can't hit a guy in the flat.
The easy or the hard throw over the easier throw. I just found it interesting that he said this only because, again, for everybody that is kind of like, well, Tua's this, that, and the other, you've got the head coach telling you, well, his accuracy's been on point, and I think he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks that I've been around. And then he was asked the follow-up question to Mike's point about how do you improve that. You work on it, but again, you know, you bring up Cam Newton. I think it's something that Cam worked on. He got better, but Cam was never the most accurate dude.
Right, and sometimes, look, this Cam would tell you, if we ever get him in the studio again, but Cam would tell you, he's busy making a hat, but you know, sometimes he would make he could make an unbelievable laser-like throw to to Steve Smith and hit him in stride, and then somehow he wouldn't set his feet, you know, on an intermediate throw or a throw out in the flat, and you're like, well, how come you can't make that throw? Something that Penix hopefully will get the coaching from because of all the brain power. We went through the entire offensive coaching staff yesterday on the show, and there's a lot of guys to help him get there, but you know, the accuracy thing, look, say what you want. If the ball is coming out in 2 seconds or whatever, boom, boom, boom. Tua's accuracy and his completion percentage, you can't argue with it over his career in Miami.
Kevin Stefanski also saying in the meeting rooms, he's doing great. He's on the field. He is, quote, impressed. Does that mean anything? 404-726-0929. That is the phone number for you to join us. Mike started the show off talking about the Atlanta Hawks signing general manager Ansi Saleh to a long-term contract extension. Look, he changed the team's this year's team three times. Right? You had the Trey and the Porzingis version, then you made some moves, then you had the trade deadline move. Mike, they transformed this team, I think, three different times, which is why we gave the coach a lot of credit. We said, you know, Quinn Snyder, he never really got a chance, at least for those last couple of months, to work with this group. And that gives us reason to have promise. But to lock him up long-term, you know, and to give him an extension, I think this was well-deserved. Again, he was in the running for Executive of the Year. I think he took second. Bottom line is, look, I think we found our guy.
Right. As I mentioned, teams are, you know, coming. When you've got a guy that looks like he's got a handle on things, teams are going to start looking for that. They blew out the process in Philadelphia. Your buddy, Daryl Morey, he finally gets the gate. And you said, no, Philly, you can't talk to him. So if you're going to turn down some people, you better put something on a carrot on a stick and give your guy a reason to be here. And I like the job that he's done. Now, the question will be, and we've asked the question you brought up yesterday, we see all these things in the teams that are still alive, and now it's only two teams still alive because the Knicks do what they do. But now you got to see if we can find the bigs, the athletic pieces, you know, a point guard that can help Jalen Johnson emerge as a better player, get maybe someone who can help salvage Reece Hoshea's career, you know. So that's things he's got to try to find this year. Not sure how we're going to do that if it's all free agency, if it's all through the draft.
Here's what's interesting.
Or both.
Mike, you know, when we talk about the league and how it's evolved, like in the 90s, you had to have a big guy.
Right.
You had to have a legitimate center that could play, right? And that's why we talk about Dream and, you know, Ewing and all these centers, Mike, that you had to have a guy. Even Utah, right, in their runs late in the 90s when they're playing Jordan. So things changed. All of a sudden, everybody wanted, you know, stretch fours and fives, and everybody wanted to shoot the three. And then we get to the Steph Curry era where, look, I'm the best shooter in the world. And, Mike, everybody goes, well, you got to stretch the floor. But think about how the game is coming back to where it once was.
Right.
It's bigs. You see it. And I'll say this about Ansi Saleh. I'm not saying he's sitting in his office with his staff going, all right, we got to go find a Wimby, because you're not going to.
Right.
But if you're going to compete against the New Yorks, even the Cavs, whose bigs are better than ours right now, you think about these teams. Toronto, Mike, they gave us problems all year long. Right. Spurs in the West. OKC. If we had to play Denver with Joker, how do you counteract those guys? Because that's what it's coming back to.
Right, because if you go with either with Wemby, who's a force of nature, or you go with like Hartenstein or any other guys, Chet Holmgren, those guys are bigger guys. And, of course, obviously you got Kat, who can, as you said, hit the three, but he also probably needs to take it to the hole a little bit more at times for the Knicks. You got Mitchell Robinson. So they've got depth, and they got size. And we don't have anything that resembles any of that right now on this roster.
And that's going to be his task. All right, 404-726-0929. Mike, give out your social media.
Hey, man. Yeah, I appreciate guys that are finding me. It's Mike Bell. You can just search Mike Bell ATL. I'm back there now. I was able to get that back. But Mike Bell ATL, ATL Bell 929. Either way, you'll find me. Carlos, put him up. See Dukes.
All right, and follow the show at Dukes and Bell 929. Guy hits me up. Dukes, it means nothing that the coach is saying this about Tua. Okay, you're a hater.
Right, look, again.
Okay,
right, look,
you're a hater.
We don't know. The coach is telling you he can't do 11-on-11 because he's not ready yet. Hopefully he'll be ready. And again, we don't know. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the things the coach is talking
about.
That's
right.
And he likes Tua's accuracy. I mean,
look, I like accuracy.
I thought Penix Jr. missed on a bunch of throws last year. I mean, maybe you guys only remember the good stuff, okay? The 9 touchdowns. Great. There was still a lot of games. Look at his completion percentage. Look at the QBR rating. It needs to be better. And it wasn't all his fault. Okay? It was not those wide receivers were injured. They were dreadful. One got cut, right? The offensive coordinator didn't help him. So it's not all his fault, but regardless, it's got to get better.
You know what's funny? When you brought these things up last year, we'd come in here on a Monday or a Friday after a Thursday night game. It didn't matter. And you would say those things, and people would get upset because they felt like you were not allowing Michael Penix to grow. He's going to get better.
All right.
And the point was, yeah, that might happen, and we hope it does. But you can't ignore what's going on right now. And those things affected the offense last year. So, again, I'm not telling you one's better than the other. But today, I thought these were pretty on-point comments by head coach Kevin Stefanski. Let me hear him talk about the Tua stuff that we were just talking about with the ability to put it where he wants to.
I think all of our guys are being true and authentic to who they are. Tua, no different. You're new to the building. You're new to the football team. I think a lot of times you're getting to know your teammates is where we are in this portion of team building, if you will. So opportunities for our players to get to know each other happen on the field, happen outside of this building. So I've just been impressed with Tua, everything he's doing in the meeting room, on the practice field, and being true to who he is. It's something where those type of things are organic and they happen over time.
There you go. You got a leader. He's been there. And it's not Michael Penix's fault that Tua, up until last year, had put some pretty good numbers up. Man, guys, look at the completion percentage. Look at the touchdowns, interceptions. It's just last year the Dolphins went off the rails. And he was very schizophrenic, too. He was great against us. He was horrible the week before and the week after. And eventually he got benched. But the guy's been there and done that at a high level.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mike. I think also as things went astray, we've seen that happen with our team where things are just not going right. Nothing feels like it's going in the right direction. Quarterback play is crap. I mean, everything's just going down the drain. That's kind of where Miami was. And by the way, go look at their personnel. It's not like they didn't invest in offensive personnel. The whole thing came off the rails, and I think that started with the head coach. Very similar to the mistakes that were being made here with Raheem Morris and how we were losing games. Either way, we'll let you hear more of what Kevin Stefanski had to say in regards to the Falcons getting back on the field. It's the second week of OTAs. That'll run through Friday.
Right.
Okay. And by the way, no JPJ. Despite, Mike, the new information we got yesterday, he's not there.
Nope. And now the question is, and everyone's trying to figure out how the NFL works. If you can figure out how the NFL works, you text me, all right? Let us know. Because as we said, they move at a glacial pace. You would say, okay, are they going to wait for him to complete his probation period? And then they're going to suspend him? Are they going to suspend him from the jump while he completes it? If you go back and look at Rashee Rice, he got to play before he got his day in court. So we'll see.
All right, guys, want to hear from you. Find us on social media. Hit us up. Text us as well at 404-726-0929. We'll come back. College football looks like at least some folks are trying to fix it. It's an interesting story. Mike and I will get into that along the way here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Headlines. Powered by Ken Nugent, George's law firm.
One call, that's all.
Go to callken.com.
That's all, ken.com.
Michael Harris led the Braves to a win over the Red Sox last night with four hits and a decisive two-run homer in the eighth. Bryce Elder will start game two of the series in Boston tonight with first pitch set for 6:45. Falcons OTAs continue today with Kevin Stefanski and others addressing media from the team headquarters in Flowery Branch. And the Thunder down the Spurs in Game 5 last night, highlighted by another controversially refereed game in the series. I'm Joe Patrick.
We're going to talk some college football here in just a sec because coaches in the SEC speaking up. And then Mike was saying to me earlier today that there are some Congress folks who are attempting to try to fix college football. And look, we've said you're going to need legislation to do that. Mm-hmm. Bipartisan legislation.
And you've at least got two senators from both sides of the aisle, and we'll talk about it, putting something out there. And again, it's got to make its way through both houses. And I'm not sure you kids learn that anymore in school, but we have these two bodies. We have the Senate, and we have – never mind. But anyway, the point is we'll see where it goes. But already guys are throwing up objections. Some people feel there are some good things in this, but we'll see where it goes.
Let me ask you a question. And look, I'm just going to be a jerk about this.
Be a jerk. Do it.
Because I really do like Victor Wembanyama. But why wasn't he fine last night when he skipped the media session? Because if that was Draymond Green, Mike, he would have been fined.
Big time.
Okay, and here's the deal. If you're going to say, well, what's the big deal? They held him to 20 points. He didn't necessarily play great last night. You take the good and the bad. You are the face. And slowly but surely becoming one of, if not the faces of the NBA, even though he's 22 years old. The fact is, Mike, you got to speak. And he skipped the media session. So today we find out that Adam Silver warned him. Did not fine him, as most guys usually get fined for not accepting his responsibilities. And he said, next time, you know, he'll be fine. But he wasn't fined. And then people go back to the elbow that he threw in the last series where he didn't get fined.
Right.
And they go, wait a minute. You know, he didn't get suspended or fined. Now, I didn't expect him to get suspended, but he didn't get fined for that either. This is what I'm being a jerk about. If that was Draymond,
right,
he would have been fined and suspended.
Well, again, Adam Silver is a spineless amoeba jellyfish. I mean, you gave him a pass. Look, I said it. You know, the refs, if the refs weren't going to call him getting mugged, he's got to establish himself. Minnesota was going after it. So I think he did something that's a time-honored tradition. And if you want to pop him for 50 grand, so be it.
Right.
You're not going to take that talent out of the playoffs. That kills the product, and it kills – and you get why. But now, this is something that you need to show some discipline here on the young man, period.
I agree.
And he's a good guy. We know he's a good guy. He's just frustrated. But so what? You got to answer the tough questions. That's why they pay the big money for the media rights.
That's right. And all the stars who've come before you had to do it. So I just.
James Harden gave a ridiculous response. But even James Harden answered the question by saying, you know, even though we just got swept, we're better than the Knicks. You know, but he answered the question.
He did. Meanwhile, the Hawks are signing general manager Ansi Saleh to a long term contract extension and promoting him to president of basketball ops. Mike started the show with this. And look, we both kind of say, this is great. You want stability for the organization. As we're just talking basketball and the Hawks making news today about 25 minutes ago when this news got out. But I think Ansi did a great job. But I said to Mike, now the pressure's really on. Because you did what you did, which helped the team grow, and we got into the playoffs. But now we got to go win. Like, we got to improve on even what we did last year. So if you're going to lock him up, and Mike said it, if this was other job opportunities, whatever it was that made the deciding factor where the Hawks wanted to do this, that's fine. The end result, though, is now you're locked in. We know Quinn is going to be here. How are you guys going to make this team better? And that becomes the conversation now. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen on the front end, front office aspect of things, Mike. He's going to be here. Quinn's going to be here. He's talked highly about Quinn and the job he's done with development and how guys have gotten better. Okay, great. Now I think the pressure is on.
No, yeah, and there's moves to be made. If a guy hit me up earlier and saying, you know, what about our salary cap situation? Well, they're going to fix it because as you go right now and look at it, we're $79 million over the cap. That's salaries are coming off. There's moves and made. They'll be made. But right now, the Hawks don't have all that cap space. They will have an opportunity to change that situation. Then the question becomes, do you want to go get a big or whatever you think you need, a point guard through free agency, or are you going to be strictly all through the draft and get middle-of-the-road guys because your owner don't want to spend the money? See, that's right. My biggest thing is I like what Ansi Salehe has done. I just hate this hesitancy over the years because they haven't been in a position. Well, when do we ever get in the position to go really, really invest in this team?
It's a great question because if you say, well, you know what? We exceeded expectations last season. Great. Open up the checkbook. Right. Open up the account and let's exceed expectations even more. See, I think a lot of times it's almost as if ownership has asked these general managers, even before Ansi got here, to do something, Mike, to improve the team without spending. And then once we get there, then I'll spend. And it's almost impossible.
Well, again, it's basically sort of like the chicken and the egg, right? How are you going to make this thing happen? You know, Oklahoma City did it organically through the draft, and then they augmented with the right pieces. But they generally did it through a youth movement. But they did it accurately and quickly. So it didn't take 6 years or 7 years for them to get back to where they need to be. How are we going to do it? And the other question is, we have some hard decisions. Everyone loves C.J. McCollum and the run we made to the playoffs, the wins against the Knicks. Can't give him a 3-year contract.
Can't.
Not at this age. There's hard decisions to be made. What are you going to do with Reese Hoshea? Do you truly believe in him? Or are you going to say, look, I didn't draft him. I'll get what I can for him. Somebody else can fix him. We'll have to wait and see, man. This is going to be the most intriguing offseason for the Hawks in the last 20 years.
I agree. Hands down. And the other element that we have to put out there, and look, I'm not a believer that it's going to happen, but I did tell you guys a few weeks ago that NBA folks – in those circles I talked to, were saying, look, don't be surprised if the Hawks are involved in maybe a 3-team trade for one of these big stars, maybe even a Jaylen Brown.
Now, that would be exciting. But again, if it's just Jaylen Brown and you've traded Jalen Johnson.
It's not enough.
And it's Jalen, Dyson, Daniels, and Nah, you're still right where you started.
I agree.
I mean, you'll win some games and you'll be entertaining as hell, but what are you going to do when you get in the elites of the Eastern Conference in the playoffs?
The goal would be to keep your core, to add Jalen, get some bigs, right, for a reasonable price. Save your draft pick. Don't give your picks away. And all of a sudden now, Mike, you've got a now and a future.
Right. And I would look, you can go get a veteran center and get Jalen Johnson. And obviously, you're giving up all your first-round picks.
Yep.
I mean, to get Jaylen Brown, I should say, you'd have to. The Celtics are not going to take anything less than all our first-round picks.
And if it's a 3-team trade, by the way, I'm talking about Milwaukee being involved with Giannis.
Right.
The Celtics, because salaries have to match. Brown's making as much as Giannis. And then all of a sudden, now, what other team gets involved?
Is it the Heat? Is it, you know,
right.
who knows what the Knicks are going to do if they win at all? Maybe they change their perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And that's why I say that. But we will see. Meanwhile, real quick, and we'll talk more about this coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, a lot to unpack as the SEC spring meetings are underway. Mike Elko, Texas A&M, says it's okay to make it hard to get to the playoffs. And I was like shaking my head going, thank you, Mike Elko, because it feels like, Mike, that some of these coaches are so worried about not making it that they want to do their schedules as much away from what they need to with the 9 games. Everybody's concerned about the 9 games. And he was like, look, none of us are answering for the good of the sport. We're answering for the good of ourselves. I thought that was a great quote.
Right.
Mike Elko.
Look, and there's a lot of things. Today's one of those days where we got plenty of stuff to talk about. We always do. But today's a day where we can get into the SEC coaches. Because, you know, all of a sudden now, Greg Sankey doesn't look like such a great, you know, a great leader of conference. We always say, well, the SEC, it just means more. If you sold your troops, hey, we're going to get 16 games, guys, I'm telling you, we got to go to 9 games because nobody wanted to go to 9 games in the SEC. And I hated it. And I wish that, I wanted them to go to 9 games, but they always said, look, if the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't respect our 9 games, what's the point? Well, now you're like, well, shoot, if we're going to pick up 2 or 3 losses each, then we got to have a 2014 playoff. So now you even have coaches in the SEC going, our commissioner's wrong. ESPN doesn't want 24 because they know it's going to be crappy television. That's why they want 16. So it's like Sankey feels he's got ESPN in his back pocket, I guess, as a leverage tool. Meanwhile, you got Petitti and the Big Ten looking like they're the power brokers on this thing.
They really are. They're guys at the with suits on sitting at the conference table waiting
right.
for Sankey and company. Like, we'll be here. We know what our position
right.
is.
Right, and now, you know, it's not going to be no disrespect to Georgia Southern or somebody else. It's going to be an SEC opponent before Georgia plays Tech Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, the SEC athletic directors voted yesterday to play conference games on the last week of the regular season. This won't start until next season, guys, but I want you to just think about this for a second. We were kind of laying this out earlier on right. the show when Day-Day and Big O, we were talking about, okay, what would that look like? It's the end of what they call cupcake weekends, okay? So you use Auburn, Alabama before the Iron Bowl. Auburn's playing a cupcake. Alabama's playing right. a cupcake. I'm not going to be banged up going into the Iron Bowl, so therefore we're not going to play a harder opponent. And then guess what? We'll play the Iron Bowl. Those games are going away. Those right. before we play the big rivalry games. And so that's gonna change the schedule for these teams.
Look, I've always wanted all the teams across the country to play the 9-game conference schedule. The problem, as we said, I mentioned it, is the College Football Playoff Committee just doesn't seem to value the SEC's grinder of a schedule. And again, I hate the fact that now we're going to have cupcakes out of conference. But the Indiana business model, Michigan, now again, this year Ohio State, they do that home and home, so they play with Texas to start the season, but then Ohio State goes back to cupcakes. North Texas, Howard, Western Kentucky. That's Indiana's three out of conference to start the season, Carl. Throw in Rutgers, Purdue. I mean, not exactly a gauntlet. I mean, it's easier in the Big Ten to get to the playoffs. It just is. That's what Florida Gators, remember Florida Gators, was it Jeremy Foley was the old AD. They'd always have some like lower MAC team playing them in the first couple of weeks of the season.
There are four teams in the Big Ten, and I don't want to hear this during the season, that will not play 9 opponents in the conference. Indiana's one of them, Mike just mentioned. Penn State's another, USC and Nebraska. You can't tell me that Georgia's schedule won't be harder than all four of those teams, and if any of them are ranked higher than Georgia, that's going to be the discussion when I come back and say, well, they didn't even play 9 power opponents. You know, 9 power 4 opponents. Those four schools will probably benefit, as Indiana did last year from right. it. So it is a big deal. I also thought that the comments from Texas A&M AD Trev Albert saying, do we want to be governed or not? It feels like we don't want to be governed. And he's talking about college football as a whole, which gets us to this whole thing about a couple of congressmen trying to put a bill together, Mike, to hopefully get some more structure.
Yeah, it's a senator, Democratic senator from Washington, and it's Ted Cruz from down in Texas. And already people are starting to poke holes. Guys, at least it's a starting point. Now, again, who knows where it'll go? D.C. is a giant swamp. We all know that. It's a quagmire. But at least somebody's trying to put some kind of guard. How many times have you and I said guardrails in the last 3 years, right?
It's the word. It's
a
phrase.
Maybe a step in the right direction.
Hey, man, when we come back, more from OTAs, Kevin Stefanski, and what he had to say today as the Falcons are on the field. He talked about Michael Penix still not being cleared. And he was pretty clear when he said he's not 100%. It's Dukes and Bell.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears, and I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
The show, and then it got a little squirrely, got a little interesting. I thought Strider did a decent job. The pitch count kind of was his undoing last night, kind of got a little bit higher, so they had to take him out. And I do give I give him credit. I thought Walt Weiss was not going to monkey around when he saw a couple of walks from Strider. He got him out of there in a minute.
Yeah, 87 pitches somewhere around there, yeah. Mike, for Strider last night. And look, you had a 7-4 lead going to the ninth inning. Felt pretty good. Iglesias comes in and he wobbled. He gives up a couple of runs, but he had had 28 and a third right. scoreless.
I'm not going to even complain about it because he does over the course of all, and I know Grant will say this probably at 520, over the course of a season, there's going to be days where you don't have your A game, and he still found a way to grind and get out of it.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was the scare last night, but at the end of the day, Money Harris, man, and he's playing so well right now. And this is the thing. Every time someone starts to slip, someone else picks it up. Right? All season long, that's kind of what this has been like. Matt Olson, you are off to an amazing start. MVP numbers. Man, we wish Riley would come along. Riley heats up a little bit. Hey, man, what's going on with Ozzie? Ozzie was hot for a little bit. This is how this thing works. And that's why the star power in this lineup, Money's hitting 304, 12 home runs. His OPS, slugging and on base, Mike, 855. He's playing really well right now. So right. it's one of those things where you go four hits, couple of home runs last night, and the Strider, you know, situation, I need him to continue to give us quality starts. Five plus or more innings every time he's out there because we're going to need it. But he gave up a couple of home runs. That's really what hurt him.
Two solo shots at the top and very hittable pitches. I heard CJ talking about in the broadcast. You know, just, you know, it's in the sweet spot. Got to do a better job there. Conversely, Michael Harris goes down again and gets like a golf ball swing to dead center field to clear the big, not the Green Monster, but that higher wall up there in the center. That was cool to see. So, you know, they're making it happen. I guess the question we have now is, and how long and how patient are the Braves going to be with Ha-Seong Kim, who's been horrible? Horrible. He's basically just it's an out. They're paying him decent coin.
They are. 20 mil.
And it's just, you know, remember, this was a guy that was cut. I mean, he was out there. They picked him up. And, you know, of course, the injury didn't help. Now, again, does he need more time? Would a full spring training have had him in a better rhythm? Because he looks awful. I mean, he doesn't look like a big leaguer. He looks like DFA right now is what he looks like.
Well, you can't be bad in the field and both at the plate. Right.
Right.
At that position, I need you to be a gold glove guy. And if you're going to struggle at the plate, so be it. You want to hit 190? Okay, great. But I need you to make every play. And we've got to be strong up the middle, Mike. And part of this is I don't feel like all of that is working for him right now. So I don't know what the answer is, but I'll say this. If that becomes another concern, then it becomes another thing that Alex Anthopoulos is going to have to look at and say, all right, we need or I would like to do this, this, and add to this. Right. I don't think they can get rid of Kim. But I also think you could bring in a couple of guys to give you more flexibility.
Look, I know it's tough to validate. Hey, just $20 million and poof. You know, again, you know, obviously the LA Dodgers, they pooped that out for lunch. True. But in the case of the Braves, you know, this is a decent-sized contract. I personally, yeah, bench him, whatever you want to do with him, but make Dubon your everyday shortstop. Yeah, he's a gold glove utility fielder because he can do it all. But I'd rather see him out there because he does seem to be more clutch at the plate, and then go find yourself another left fielder to either start or platoon with Yaz. How about that?
I'm with it, man. Braves back at it tonight. We'll talk more with Grant coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour, but find another way to get a win last night. 7-6 was the final, and again, Money Harris with four hits. Let me hear Kevin Stefanski as the Falcons are back on the field. OTAs, week two going on up at Flowery Branch. Let me hear what he had to say about, is this Penix or Tua? Who's this, Tua? Penix. Let's hear it.
Mike is not cleared for team periods yet. He'll continue to do what he's doing, which is individual drills, 7-on-7. And I think that's an important thing for all of us. You know, every player is in a different stage of where they are, Mike included, where, you know, the number one thing I've told you guys all along is to get healthy. You know, so what Mike's able to do right now in terms of individual and the 7-on-7s is outstanding, you know, and just shows you how hard he's working at it. But when appropriate, then we'll move him into team drills.
When is that? When is it going to be appropriate?
Well, you're just gonna have to wait, Carl. I mean, you got to be able to compete, right? We all know that Tua's got a leg up because he's got two working legs, and Penix is still coming off the injury. You know, Penix, we thought was a guy that, you know, tremendously accurate passer, and he hasn't been tremendously accurate in his first 2 years. I thought, you know, honestly, my favorite games of Michael Penix was that Commanders game when he had a playoff atmosphere in 24.
Yep.
And then, of course, the game that they should have won where he threw for over 300 yards and we had like 38 points against Carolina. Is he going to get accurate? Is that going to get more accurate? Is it more about the footwork? Can he understand the play action thing? Because, again, this is a lot for a guy to process. Even out of the shotgun, he wasn't as accurate as he needed to be at times last year. That's a fact. Look at his go to ESPN.com game log, Michael Penix Jr., and you'll see. And then we can look, and then we can have a conversation about this, and you guys can say, okay, you're right about that. We've already made the excuses for him, what Zach Robinson was feeding him, the bad coaching, you know, the awful wide receiver room with the injuries, Carl, that nobody could stay on the field. Remember, Mooney didn't even start the season.
It was a tough uphill battle for him based on the amount of weapons he had. And then when Drake got hurt, right? I mean, like, it felt like we really didn't have a go-to guy. Even though Pitts was more involved, we still didn't have that element for Michael Penix. As far as his health, I think the most important thing is we keep asking for an update. Open your ears. Kevin Stefanski, he's giving it to you. He's not 100%. That's all we need to know. The elements of what's that mean and, you know, how many exercises a day is he doing on this knee and how many dropbacks is he doing? None of that is relevant. The fact is the coaches said he's not 100%, but he's where he needs to be. Okay, so that's the update, guys. He's stacking days. And, Mike, as we count down, because now we can start counting down, we get to June, we got a month out,
right,
before we get into July, and you start saying, all right, what's this look like middle of July, and is he going to be there ready to go day one? That I don't know, but that's what coach is telling us. And I think from the standpoint of whatever he's being allowed to do, they are happy with it. Okay.
Right.
That's all we can ask.
And once he's 100%, then he can compete. And until he can be 100%, then we were simply, as we said, Carl, we're guessing.
Yep.
And we're taking what the coaches and the general manager say, or the president, we'd kind of run with it. Okay. Figure hopefully by second week at camp, he can do all those things. Then you can have a real, true competition. Otherwise, guys, to say that Tua has an advantage is not crapping on Mike. Why am I even having this conversation?
Did you say T-U-A? You
know, why am I trying to rationalize something to folks who are basically functioning at like an elementary school level in this conversation? Okay. Because you want the black quarterback to succeed. We all want, I don't care what color he is, guys. I just want to win. And again, if he came out of the gate like Jaden Daniels were, wow, Jaden Daniels looks like he's going to be a Pro Bowler as a rookie. And I'm not talking about mobility. I'm just saying, you knew with Jaden Daniels, you got a guy.
Yeah.
Then he gets injured. Now they don't know they got the guy in D.C. He's got to reestablish himself.
He does. Absolutely. He's got to come back and have another monster year. Let me hear Coach Stefanski talk about what he is impressed with Michael Penix right now.
You have to be careful not to forget that when evaluating any player, where they are in the stage of a rehab, for instance. And Mike, in this case, you understand that he's not 100%, not to say hard to put a number on it, but knowing that his rehab is what takes precedent, everything he does, you take that with in mind. Having said that, just very impressed with everything he's doing on the field and in the meeting room as well.
All right, so the caveat there is the stage of rehab where he is, which on the calendar we don't know. That's doctor stuff.
Right.
But where he is on the calendar, they're impressed with where he's at. They don't want to say, man, he looks great because, again, he just told you he's not 100%. So I think he's being very cautious. I'm talking about Coach Stefanski about making sure and Mike, he's not putting more pressure on the kid. That's what this is.
Look, and then once we get to camp, guys, then we can start asking the questions about what are you looking for? What are the determining factors? How are you going to decide who your guy is once they're able to compete? Because, again, they're not prepared to go down this road. I know, guys, it's aggravating for us. You want to know. Michael Penix Jr. will be ready on July 31st, right? Done. And that's going to be it. They're not going to give that to you. So all we can do is spitball, and then all we can do is look at his body of work versus Tua's body of work. Two guys that got to play more under center, do more play action, get more comfortable in something they haven't done a lot of in their careers.
But are you ready to hear what I'm about to play for you? Are you ready to accept what I'm about to play for you?
Is this going
to
be Tua related?
Yes, it is. Dede, drop the beat.
Well, I think it's the most important trait at the position, as we've always talked about. Some guys get better at it with tweaks to how they throw the ball, tweaks to how they their lower body, those type of things. But there is an innate ability of all of our quarterbacks have this, to be able to let the ball go and it's going where you want it to go. And not to say that you're not going to miss throws in this profession. You're going to miss throws, but all of our guys possess that innate quality of letting it go and knowing where they want it to go. But yeah, I think Tua, just in his career, as you've seen, just has that innate God-given ability.
He's got that God-given ability. Did you hear him?
Well, again, see, here's the thing. Wait, now we can't hype this.
We just said it.
Let it rest.
He said
it's like you just pulled. You're smoking some meat on the cooker. Let it rest. Because if we add any embellishment to this, all of the Penix people, they're going to lose their minds.
Thank you, Mike Johnson.
God-given ability. Again, Fran Tarkin said you can't coach accuracy. I went back. I looked at Michael Penix Jr.'s pre-draft review from NFL Network.
Yeah.
Playing in a shotgun-based spread attack might give him his best chance to succeed, but he needs to prove he can thrive outside of a Washington offense and stay free from injury. None of that has happened yet.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. This is what they do for every quarterback, every player.
Yeah.
That's what they said. And basically, and again, I'm not saying it's his fault, guys, or we're rooting. That's not rooting against him. Here's what they said in the final sentence of his evaluation, and it hasn't happened yet. It's a concern.
No, it's fair. 404-726-0929. Coach Stefanski was also very careful there. As he's talking about Tua, that comment is about Tua. When he starts talking about it's the most important trait at the position, again, I told you yesterday, he's coached like 17 quarterbacks, and he was 6 years quarterback, coach up there in Minnesota, and turned Kirk's season and his career around. He was very careful in saying, all of our guys possess this. But then he gets back to the Tua thing, which was what the comment was originally about. And the question was about Tua's accuracy. And that's how he starts that comment. Most important trait at the position. He's not lying. Yeah, jiu-jitsu for sure. Thank you, Tua. Thank you. All the training is paying off.
Karate man bruised on the inside. Hopefully don't bruise at all, but yes.
And by the way, he was asked about the concussions today, and coach was like, no, he's got no limits. They're not worried.
No, so you're saying he's Mr. Unlimited?
He has no limits as far as the concussion stuff. They're not even addressing that. It hadn't been an issue.
All right. So he's not going to wear like the dark helmet from like Spaceballs, right?
One of those dumb, we don't like them. Those dumb helmets.
It's just aesthetically, it might be helping your noggin, but it's not helping your rep. But yeah, again, now it's just a matter of the competition. So that's all we're saying. Look, if Penix Jr. picks up everything these coaches are throwing at him and can do all of that and beat a guy who's got more experience. Look, that's what I'm saying. Think about that. Check that box. Check that. It's a lot of boxes to check. So that's not hating. That's just explaining. Here's the road to Michael Penix Jr. being your starter.
Yeah. All right. We're just getting you caught up on what's going on at OTA's second week. A lot of health updates. We'll get you caught up on that as well. What he said about Bijan, what he said about Pitts. And we'll also get to more of what the other coaches had to say because, again, some of these guys are speaking today. But it's just kind of, giving you a fresh perspective, a fresh update, man. And the bottom line is you are trying to do the things that are going to prepare you to have a smooth camp, but a nice transition from whatever it is Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees want to do offensively to where we were and what we want to be. That's what this is right now. And then when we get there in August, Mike, and we're going to, with the first preseason game, and we're like, okay, we know nobody's playing. I want to have a feel for what this might look like. And right now, I don't know because I'm not sure all of the stuff that they want to, install and do has been put in there yet.
Right. And we'll talk to some of our buddies who are at OTAs. I see a lot of comments from Mark Raimondi and Josh Kendall and, of course, our buddy Joe Patrick and see what they're seeing. We'll get to see with our own eyes in about 2 months.
Yeah, man. All right. We got a lot more to dive into. It's a big show today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Coming up also, we will dive into more NFL news. We're not the only team with OTAs. What if I told you Mike Vrabel spoke today?
But did he really?
Good question. And contract extensions, which had me thinking, are the Falcons going to do this to a guy they need to take care of? We'll get into that. Fourth and One's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
Baby. Yeah. Isn't that interesting though about Penix? Like that's
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.